1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And please would you convince our hearts to believe in and trust these words for Jesus' sake. Amen. So why did Jesus come into the world? We've just had Christmas. We're just exiting Christmas season into Epiphany. Why did Jesus come? People give all sorts of answers to that question. Maybe you give all sorts of answers to that question. Some will say he was a great teacher. And he was a great teacher. Just read through the Gospels. He is a great teacher. But is that all Jesus was? Or even mainly what Jesus was? Some will say he came to bring peace on earth, and he will do one day, but just not yet. So why did he come the first time? Some will say he was a revolutionary. He came to overthrow unjust structures in society. And of course, there is a sense in which that is true as well. At the last day, he really will do that. But that isn't really what Jesus came to do. None of those gets to the core of what Christianity is and what Jesus came to do. No, for that we have to read verse 15 that Sally just read for us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, what does the word save mean in that sentence? It depends, you see, on what the problem is that needs fixing. So up on the screen here, here is a problem. If you're the defending team, that's a problem. What do you need to save you? For a goalkeeper, brilliant. If you've got a goalkeeper, they save the day. What about this? Here is a person drowning. What do they need in order to save them? They need one of these. Apparently, I looked for life ring and got given a ring-necked pheasant. So Google doing an excellent job there. I suppose if it was very strong, it might sort of lift you out of the water. Or perhaps if it was carrying one of these, then it might be particularly helpful. Okay, if you're drowning, you need a life ring. What about this? If different kind of saving altogether. If you've got piles of this, what sort of saving are you going to do? You might, gee, you're so godly. Alice, that's an amazing answer. You might save the poor people by giving your money away. Or you might get one of these, a bank manager, and say, please, can I have a savings account? So just shows my goddaughter more godly than I am. There we are, by the grace of God. What is the problem that Jesus is the answer to? What sort of saving does Jesus need to do? Well, our passage tells us, doesn't it? Jesus came to save sinners, came to bring forgiveness. That word isn't in our passage, but it is there in the Lord's Prayer that we just said together, wasn't it? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's what needs to happen with sins. Our sins need to be forgiven if we're going to be saved. So Jesus didn't go in goal. He didn't throw a life ring. He didn't open a bank account. Instead, he took our sins to himself. He took ownership of them. He picked them all up off our backs, and he died for them. He paid the penalty for them. He took them away from us so that there was nothing left for us to pay for, so that we could be forgiven, so that we might be saved from God's judgment. I don't know how that strikes you. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. You might be here for the first time today, and all of this seems very, very big. It is big. Jesus thought that sin was such a big problem that he came into the world to fix that problem. And we're going to think a little bit more in a few moments about how seriously we should take that, as he did too. Came to save sinners. But the question then is, which sinners? Surely there must be a limit to the sort of people that God will have in his church, right? There must be some people who are so bad that God would turn them away, right? Actually, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Why was Paul the worst? Well, his job before he became a Christian was to kill Christians, which is pretty bad. He hated God, he hated Jesus, he hated the church, he wanted to destroy them all, and that was pretty bad. How bad are people allowed to be and then be saved? Paul was a bad man. He thought he was a very good man. He thought he was doing the right thing. Isn't that why the way so much wrongdoing happens in the world? People think they're doing the right thing, and that justifies anything. Paul thought he was pleasing God, but he wasn't. He confessed that he didn't really love God at all. He was just doing it to be the big man. But Paul, who was a terrible man, was saved by Jesus. And there's a reason why he was saved. He tells us in verse 16. Have a look at verse 16 with me. For that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. See, the badness of Paul was a chance for God to show the goodness of Jesus. Jesus rescued Paul, a very bad man, to show how very big and wide God's love, his mercy, his patience is to sinful people. That's what we mean by grace. It's a big church word. If you don't know what it means, we sometimes say grace, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches, his forgiveness, his love, his welcome into his eternal kingdom. But not because we deserve it, because we don't deserve it, any of us. So he has to give it to us, grace it to us. It isn't earned by us, but paid for by Jesus at Christ's expense. His death brought us free forgiveness. And Paul tells us that Jesus saved him to display God's great love for sinners. More than that, verse 16, he did it as an example. As an example to those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, what does that mean? It means we're supposed to learn from Paul's salvation that this is the sort of people Jesus saves. He saves killers. He saves the worst of sinners. Adults, I imagine you can think of terrible things in your minds. Terrible things people have done or might do. Jesus died to save those sorts of people. That might make us feel a little uncomfortable. Does it make you feel uncomfortable? It sounds rather unfair, doesn't it? That people can do terrible things and Jesus will save them from the consequences. Sometimes people will say to me, maybe they've said it to you, maybe you've said it, does that mean that someone awful like Adolf Hitler, who killed millions of people, could be saved? Would God really save an awful man like that? Let's make a distinction for a moment. I don't think Hitler repented. I don't think he has been saved. But could God save him? Would God save him? Yes. Yes, he would. And the proof is that Paul was saved, and Paul was the worst of sinners. So here's the thing I want you to do, boys and girls, older folk in the room, look into your heart for a moment. All of us need to play along with this. Just have a look inside yourself. Do you think it's unfair that Jesus saves terrible people? Do you think that's a problem? Is it a problem for you? Do you feel uncomfortable? Does it make you squirm a little bit that he saves people like Paul? Does it feel unfair? It is unfair. Fair would be Paul rotting in hell, but fair would also be you and I rotting in hell, because we're all sinners. See, I think there's a problem in our hearts that God wants to fix this morning. If you have a problem with Jesus saving sinners, it probably means you don't think you're very sinful yourself. That you don't really need saving. That really God would let you in because you're just a nice person. And all those terrible sinners like Paul should be left on the outside. It's only the people who deserve it who get to go in. God doesn't need to save me. I get to be in there because I'm one of the good guys. It's not true. It's never been true for anybody. The only person who deserves to be in God's eternal kingdom is Jesus, and he came from the eternal kingdom to save us. Now, every person who is saved by God's grace alone. You, me, and everyone else. Friends, if we are saved by grace, if God has thrown open the gates to heaven, if he has opened the door and said, please come in, here is my love, here is my friendship, here is my forgiveness to you and me, should he not do that for everybody else? Should anybody be excluded? Would you deny his grace to others and accept it for yourself? That would be a bad thing. I think that would show that we have a smaller view of our own sin and a much smaller view of God's grace than he does himself. Now, we should be happy that God welcomes people like Paul into his kingdom. Let me say just a word, though. There may be a handful of us here this morning, maybe even some of our smaller ones here. You know you're a terrible sinner. You've said bad things, you've done bad things, you haven't loved the people around you like you should. Do you know that? I want you to look at Paul this morning. He calls himself the worst sinner, the leader of the wicked people. He says to you and to me this morning, Jesus saves terrible people. You might be a terrible person. You might know yourself to be a terrible person. Can I say this? Jesus forgives terrible people. He can forgive your sins completely. Will you trust him? You can lay all of that burden down this morning. We'll come back to think about that in just a moment. But let me prepare you for it. Jesus is inviting you this morning to lay down your sin and let him pick it up for you. Let him buy your forgiveness at the cross. And I've got just a couple of minutes more things to say on that passage. And I want to speak really this morning, at this last little bit, to those people in the room, perhaps it's just a few of us, who know that we are terrible people. Or perhaps to those in the room who have sometimes had that thought. Perhaps you've done a thing or not done a thing and you've thought, I'm a terrible person. Maybe God doesn't love me at all. Or to those, many of us in the room, who might have that experience in the future, I'd love you to bank this little 2 minutes for that day, because I think it's incredibly precious. Paul tells us, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, full trust, full faith. So here is the question. Do you fully accept that Jesus forgives your sins? The grace of God, the forgiveness of God, is so wide that it can take in even a terrible person like Paul. It's wide enough for anyone and everyone. It is wide enough for you. So do you trust these words? When I was a young Christian, I really struggled to believe that Jesus' forgiveness was for me. I believed fully that Jesus had died for sinners, that he loved and forgave and was gracious towards lots of people. I knew lots of them. I went to church, but I also knew my own sinful heart. I knew I was a terrible person on the inside. And I find it really hard to believe that Jesus' grace could be big enough for the mess that I had inside me. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. But faith in Jesus means trust, and this is a trustworthy saying, a thing that we should put our trust in, a thing that is guaranteed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Christ came for the very purpose of saving, of forgiving the very worst of sinners, and you don't get to be a bigger sinner than Paul. And here's what I realise, and I offer it to you this morning as a gift. When I said, Jesus can't be willing to forgive me, I was really just saying, the gospel's not true. I was an unbeliever at that very most important point. I was carrying around my guilt like a great big overcoat, like a great big sack full of all the things I'd said and done or not said or not done, my guilt, my sin, my shame. And I was refusing to give that to Jesus to deal with because I knew I didn't deserve it. Duh. But more importantly, I somehow thought that it was too much, that Jesus was too small to carry that load that I was carrying, that his power and his love were too small for me. And Paul says to us this morning, to me, when I think like that, and to you if you ever think like that, you don't get to be the chief of sinners. That's Paul's job. And Jesus saved Paul, and he can and will save you if you will trust him. So stop disbelieving and put your trust in Jesus this morning. Whatever you're carrying around, however horrible it seems, whatever you have done, Jesus has broad enough shoulders to take it off you this morning. As an act of faith, as an act of trusting in these trustworthy words, would you take that off your back and put it at the foot of the cross and leave it there for Jesus to deal with? And then get up this morning and walk out of here as his forgiven family member, his brother or sister, a child of his father. Would you just leave the sin there? Would you leave your guilt there and walk away free today? Stop believing the lie that your own heart is whispering into your head. Jesus is too small for you. Jesus is massive, and you are small. And your sin is not too big for him to deal with. Would you leave it, let it go, and be free of all of that? All of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your shame. Would you let it go this morning? Paul invites you to acknowledge the grace of Jesus is very big. It was big enough for Paul, the chief of sinners. It is big enough for you. You just have to accept it this morning. Should we bow our heads and I shall pray for us? And perhaps you will want to pray, maybe even for the first time, in light of these words. Our Father, your love for your church is enormous. Your grace was bought for us by Christ at the cross. And if your love can take in Paul, the chief of sinners, it can take in every one of us. And so I pray that we would believe these words, these trustworthy words, and in trusting them, we would put our faith in Jesus. And would you cause each and every one of us to know this morning that we are completely forgiven, washed clean, made right with you by faith and through the grace that is in Christ. Amen.